Well, Tornado Bob is away today, and so we asked another meteorologist that we know, right, Mark Morrissey? You're a meteorologist. Oh, he's on mute. There we go.
Hey there.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Mark is not a meteorologist, but no. He thinks a lot about the weather, about getting outside. He's from Turtle River. He's the assistant director of the Campus Recreation Outdoor Program Center. And thank you for being here today. Part of why I wanted to talk to you is you posted this video, and I think it's something we all have to kind of remember, because today is not a good example, but last week it felt like, I want to get out there in my kayak. I want to get out there in my canoe, because it felt so warm that we forget what the water's actually like.
Yeah, this is the time of year. We run a rental program in the summer, and as soon as we get ice out and a clear, calm day, my phone starts ringing for people who want to take out canoes and boats and paddle boards. And I'll be honest, I myself like to go out on little stream down the river, like on the Turtle River or down the Schoolcraft River this time of year, because it's beautiful. It's a really fun, you know, place to see. But people underestimate the danger of the big open water crossings, like heading out. They don't realize just how dangerous that cold water is. And also, frankly, that there really isn't, there aren't other boaters out there. There's nobody out really watching yet. Like if you go out and capsize or have trouble, it's not like there's other people out on their fishing boats watching, people out recreation where they see trouble and can help out and respond. There's really no safety net out there if you have a mishap.
That's very true. I'm, as you may well know, I'm a lake skater, and I go out real early, and I have learned that the time that I went through, I looked around and thought, you know, I could scream, but nobody's going to hear me.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll just work on getting myself out of here. And luckily for me, I did. You know, you sent along a video, which was very interesting, about, what is it, Professor Popsicle from Manitoba? And the, what is it, if the water temperature is above 70,
yep,
the fatality rate is like 8% on swamping or something like that. And if it's below 60, it's like 40%. So yeah, almost half of the people that go into cold water don't come out.
Yes, this is the guy from up in Canada, and he did a video called, which I really recommend. It's called Cold Water Boot Camp, and I share this with my staff every year, and then I've had some friends, and they go on to share it. And he's basically saying that people underestimate the danger of the cold, and they think hypothermia. They think that hypothermia is what's going to get you, but frankly, the cold water incapacitation, particularly when you don't have any flotation, like if you don't have a life jacket, it's not hypothermia that gets you. You just drown. Like you can't swim. They show rescue swimmers that are like, they're Coast Guard rescue swimmers. And they stick them overboard in that cold, cold water, like right after ice out. And they can't make two strokes. They can barely breathe. They can't operate a radio. They can't climb a ladder. Like they can't use their hands. He teaches what he calls a kind of a 1-10-1 rule of like, you've got about a minute of cold water shock where you just can't even, you can't even catch your breath. After about a minute, you've got 10 minutes to do some meaningful work or effort towards getting yourself to safety. After 10 minutes, you probably can't use your hands even to zip a life jacket or grab a rope. And then you've got about an hour, if you're floating, to survive if you have flotation, right? Like if you have a life jacket on, you'll stay at the surface, and then if somebody can get you some help. So. The hypothermia doesn't kill you quickly, but you could certainly drown quickly with that cold water incapacitation. So the takeaway from this is you've got to wear that PFD. You got to wear that life jacket in this cold water. There's a few things I learned. I was at a conference, and so I met some people that were like with the Maine Coast Guard, and just some eye-opening things. And this guy taught me, he said, a lot of people that are sportsmen regard their boat is just kind of the truck to get where they're going. And they don't think of it as a boating outing. So they don't really think in terms of safety plan and get your life jacket or get your radio. They just sort of jump in the boat and go, like turn the key and go. And they underestimate that risk, particularly solo outing. So think about it. If you're going out, there's nobody else with you, you got no buddy system, and your life jacket is just sitting on the floor of the boat or on the chair. he also taught me something interesting. He said, if I could teach people one thing that would save more lives than just about anything in this country with regarding water safety. And I was like, curious. And he kind of showed, it's like, it's guys pee in a bucket and then pour the bucket over the side. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Like people standing and they take a whiz over the side. Yeah. And they can trip right over the safety railing or like topple over into the water. And I thought that is so true. To just kind of take a little bit of safety with those unguarded moments where you could just topple right over the side of your boat and the boat goes on without you. Right.
Yeah.
This happens every year.
Doesn't care.
Yeah. Yep. This happens every year to people. So, and there's some pretty tragic stories up here with where enthusiasm sort of gets past their better judgment and eager to get out. And I'm one of those people, like I love to go out boating. I take my kids out boating. I love a good windy day. I've gone out when it's cold. I think the way to think about it is just sort of consider the risk factors and then consider like a bit of a plan, like, you know, put your life jacket on, put your radio in the pocket, have a buddy system, have a plan, put a few you know, plans together rather than just, you know, grab a boat and head out. So honestly, I say no to people too this time of year. I say, no, it's just too cold. The water's just too cold. So a capsize is too costly.
Do you, so let's say I come to you and I say, I'm going, want to go. You would advise me then to what? Get a PDF, of course.
Yeah.
I bought one of those, little compressed ones with the CO2 chamber. If I fall in the water, it goes off. It just, it inflates. So,
yeah.
So that's nice because it's easy to still move around with the thing on, but even by myself, that's still not a good idea. I mean, the fact that I got a PDF is not, if I wanted to kayak, what would you suggest?
Well, that's a good plan because it's better than not wearing one. And so, I think that those are useful. I did learn this again from this guy in the Coast Guard. There's a bit of a challenge with those inflatables that you've now suddenly got this big buoyancy in front of you at your chest, making it hard to climb back into a kayak or a canoe or over the side, right? Uh-huh. And then it's this inflate. Yeah. So like you've got this big barrier right in front of your chest that makes it hard to climb up and over. And I've seen that demonstrated. I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So I use those too. But I think in many cases, I prefer just an old fashioned, like a modern PFD that's comfortable to wear, warm, bright, got pockets, comfy to wear. Then people use them, then they'll wear them. And just consider that as part of your warmer clothing too. Like it'll keep you a little warmer to wear something like that.
Yeah, I have a duck hunting thing that it's camouflaged and it's like a jacket. It's not very thick, but it fits snugly, so it's not cumbersome, but
another factor, we see this a lot because people, they sort of just wear them casually, like they're not zipped up and they're not put on, or they think they're going to get them on. And I do this with lifeguards. I say, okay, jump off the diving board and try to put that life jacket on in the water, and this is warm water that's 80 degrees and trying to swim around, and a good strong swimmer has struggles to get their arms into the sleeve. It doesn't work. So, you know, put it on, zip it up, make sure it's secure, get something comfy that you like to wear and just wear it, especially when you're out solo.
So you're not recommending that I go out solo. You're recommending that I find another crazy person like you and and we go together.
The crazier the better. Yeah. I'm a skater too, and I do enjoy that stuff. Like I don't know if you saw, I did a video where he jumped through and showed people how to climb out of the water. And so I don't try to squelch people's enthusiasm or say, oh, that's dangerous, shouldn't do it. But yeah, when you make a plan, like, you know, if you're skating, if you got your life jacket and some safety line, or if you're out boating and you're all bundled up, you got some dry clothing to put on if you go overboard, be sure you've got the skills to climb back into your boat. Like if you topple over in a sea kayak and it floods and you can't even use it, you know, that's a big problem. You know, sometimes things like a paddleboard is safer. It's easier to climb back on and it's not going to fill up with water.
Now,
I hadn't thought of that.
Now, John and Mark, you guys are guys who like adventure, and it doesn't matter what season. Mark, looking back on this winter, what was some of your favorite things getting outside?
Well, we didn't have a lot of fresh, we didn't have a lot of snowstorms, so that was a little sad, but we skied a lot. Like my kids, my whole family, we ski in the wintertime. So we did a lot of cross-country skiing, and we went over to Giants Ridge a lot. Like we did a lot of downhill skiing because you could, the whole COVID thing, you just stay in the parking lot and have some ramen noodles and go ski. So we kite ski and downhill ski and cross-country ski, and we had a lot of adventures at home, just up here.
Yeah,
Northern Minnesota had lots to do this winter.
Well, and let's look ahead. What are both of you looking forward to as the water gets a little warmer, as things start to shape up? What do you want to do when you get out on the water?
Well, my favorite thing that I look forward to each year is on my birthday, me and my lifeguards, my staff, we jump in at sunrise and swim across Lake Bemidji.
It's about, I have to ask, when is your birthday?
It's June 21st.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah, it's the summer solstice. So we get the longest day of the year, and we go at sunrise, which is like 5:30 in the morning. So, of course, we have the safety boaters with us, and we make a plan. But we stay together, and we swim right across the lake and go out for breakfast.
That sounds delightful. I hope I can get invited to join you. I swim with a little float buoy that just tows along behind me. So that people can see, because and I swim with my dog. I have a Labrador, and we swim together a lot. And I'm looking forward to that once the water warms up. But I'm going to be getting my sailboat in the lake here in another couple of weeks. And I love sailing. It's just one of those things that engages the mind and the body. And it's quite a bit of fun.
Yeah, John, we got to hang out. I saw you're right up the. We got the same interests. I think that's pretty fun. I'm looking forward to sailing too.
All right, and swimming. You have a group. One thing I will say, at 5:30 in the morning, you have the lake to yourself.
Exactly.
And the other thing I've noticed is if there are loons on that lake, they're going to come over and check you out. I have had loons. Many times within 10 or 12 feet of me, just like, what the hell are you?
Wow.
they come by because they don't know. But at 5:30 in the morning, you're the only thing disturbing the water. And it's a lovely time to be out.
Yes, that's why we like, the sun's coming up and we head across. It's pretty special.
How far a swim is that?
Well, it's about 2 miles on the chart, and then my GPS, it was like 2.5 miles of swimming, I guess, if we wander this way and that. we go from the Mississippi Bridge to Diamond Point.
I'm not familiar with the lake, so I'll just have to assume that that's a nice swim.
Mm-hmm.
I like to swim where I can see the bottom because it gives me something interesting to look at.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not far to the bottom, and recovery will be that much easier.
Yeah.
So, Mark, tell us a little bit about where you work and what kind of things you guys do there.
I'm at Bemidji State University. I've been there for 20 years. I'm part of campus recreation. So in addition to like swimming laps and shooting hoops, you can also rent snowshoes and skis. We do rentals, and we also take students on trips. So we do like rentals and lessons, and then we go on hiking and rock climbing trips and canoe trips and that type of thing. And it's, we're at Diamond Point Park in the summertime, and that's our big operation. We're open 7 days a week. And so we do sailing and paddle boards and canoe rentals and that type of thing. So I've got a staff of college students, and that's very rewarding.
And
it's like a big summer camp.
Yeah.
It's lots of fun.
Rentals are for, people involved at BSU or anybody?
Anybody. Yep. Okay. Yep. We have bicycles, canoes, kayaks, paddleboards, all for rent 7 days a week for the community. Yep.
So in the 20 years you've been there, what have you heard from past students about like what having that kind of recreation during their college experience was like for them?
Well, it's fun. There's a lot of, I hear from my staff from years past just the other day, and they're like, that was the best job I ever had. You know, like we're out, like if sailboats tip over and we go out and rescue them, and we just have a lot of fun stories and meet a lot of great people. We meet a lot of people that have paddled down the Mississippi River. they make that trip. So every year we hear from people about this time of year that are planning their trip. And there was a guy who swam the Mississippi, and there was people who took like a big rowboat down to Mississippi, or kayakers. There's a group that wants to set the record down the Mississippi. There was a guy who had, he was legally blind. He wanted to, you know, kayak the Mississippi. Like, lots of those stories over the years. Those are pretty rewarding.
Yeah, I think we see them right after you. When they head here, then they usually stop. There's a campsite.
Yeah, I'll tell them.
Campsite here on the river. Yep. And they can camp overnight, and then we generally invite them in for some coffee and, you know, get to know kind of what their trip is there. So
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So I also saw you posted on social media. You're starting to hear some spring sounds at your place.
Yeah, frogs this time of year, we're always eager to hear like the peepers and the chorus frogs. I think those are wood frogs that started up finally. They're funny. Like, I just noticed, like, if you kind of sneak up on them, they must see you and go, hey, quiet. Because if I walk out there, they all of a sudden, like, oh, rats, they quit singing.
You know what's astonishing about that is the fact that you can have a pond that's maybe an acre or more in size, and they all stop simultaneously. Like, how does the guy on the far side get the message that the guy on your side has seen you? You know?
That's exactly what I was wondering. They must say, shut it, quiet. And they all get quiet. I was blown away by that.
Yeah. Well, Harry Hutchins taught me that the wood frogs especially, when they find the female, they jump on her and they lock their thumbs together around her.
Gotcha.
So that they can be the ones to pass on their genetic material with her. And it gets so random that sometimes a male will grab another male, and the males actually have a little call that they can say, hey, I'm a male too, you know, let go. Wow. So the wood frogs are pretty interesting in their many and varied changes of their lives. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we've been waiting for the calls, and we like your little, there's that little calendar that shows the different species and what their calls and how they overlap. I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
No, that's a beautiful thing. Like, we like to leave the windows open, and we're kind of waiting each night to hear if they're going to start, and they finally started.
Yeah, we look forward to it at our house as well. And then you couple that with the arrival of the birds and the songs that they begin to sing, and wow, it just becomes really special. I know that loons are a popular bird here in Minnesota for obvious reasons, and this year we had early ice out on the lakes around here, and for about a week I didn't have loons.
No,
and then last Sunday I heard my first one.
I don't think I've heard one on Turtle River Lake yet. Are they here? I haven't heard mine yet, but Monica says she's heard them.
Uh-huh. Well, it's you know, random. And apparently their schedule, my lake typically opens up around the 14th of April. And this year it was the 30th of March.
Yeah.
So normally, in a normal year, they'd be on the river and they'd fly over and I'd hear them call and I'd go, ah, not today, you know, and then that goes on. And then finally one day the lake is half open and boom, they're in. And that's the end of it. Then they're here all summer.
Moved in.
Yep, moved in. Right. But this year the lake was open and available, but they hadn't arrived yet. So.
Well, I feel like I'm a little bit of a matchmaker today. I sense that you two will be doing some adventures together, whether it's swimming or sailing or who knows what. I think that'd be a lot of fun to hear about those trips, you guys.
I'm going to pencil in that June 21st swim. So
you're invited. Whether to swim or kayak, you're invited.
Well, I'll swim. I'm not much of a kayaker.
You're on.
Swimming.
We go out for breakfast right after.
I like that.
That's Mark Morrissey from Bemidji State University talking a lot of things today, but especially be aware that the water is very cold out there. Have a plan, wear a life jacket, and maybe wait a little bit if you're not real comfortable on the water yet. It's beautiful. There's other ways to see some of the wildlife going on, and it'll warm up soon enough. We can all get out there. Mark, it was great to talk to you. Hope to do it again soon.
You got it. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.